Father, I want to thank you for each and every individual that's here today. I want to thank you for each and every individual that is listening to this message or will be listening to this message. In particular, Father, for all of your children, I pray that you would lift them up and encourage them during these difficult times. Encourage them spiritually, refresh them spiritually, help them to grow in hunger for you, help them to pursue the ways that they can be fed by you and encouraged by you and motivated by you and used by you. Help them to serve you. Serving you, Father, we know is not just within the confines of the walls of the buildings of the church, but serving you is walking faithfully with you every day, all the time, being your children and wanting to walk with you, to walk in your spirit, to walk hand in hand with you, to be attuned to you, to be that light and salt you've called us to be. And I pray that you'll help us with that. I pray, Father, that as we follow you and you show us the challenges that you lay before us that are challenging our walk with you, our spiritual growth in you, and the purposes that you have for each one of us, let us be faithful to you to cross that bridge from where we are to where you want us to be, from bridge to bridge to bridge to bridge, continuously growing in you. Just pray you bless that. Bless this message. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I mentioned the bridge from going from one place to the next because that's basically the title of the message, is that a bridge goes both ways. You've got traffic coming and going both ways. And you might say, well, traffic's coming from that direction on that side of the land and or that end of the bridge and coming from that mass of land and vice versa from this land crossing the other way. But there may be times when you're on a bridge and like there's that bridge in Los Gatos, the little hanging bridge, right? And I always like to get everybody on the bridge first and then start jumping. And then listen for the wait, stop, stop, stop. And they end up standing still and getting afraid or maybe turning around and running back. So in that sense, we can go one direction on the bridge and come back, like that bridge. That is a pretty amazing bridge. What a concept, and that's a real bridge in Vietnam. That would be interesting to see in real life, I think. I just hope that those things are really earthquake-proof, but they look like the hands of God holding it up, in a sense. And that's the imagery that we want to consider this morning, is that as we cross the bridges in life that God has us to cross, that we need to remember that to cross those bridges is to depend on and rely on God to carry us over the bridge. You understand what I'm saying? There are spiritual challenges in our life. There are times in our life when God calls us to follow him over difficult situations or to cause us to have our faith stretched, to move from a position that we're very used to and comfortable with into a position that is new and unfamiliar to us. Bridges cross great chasms of valleys. They cross great bodies of water. In the Florida Keys, there's a bridge in the Florida Keys. I always like going over it, but I'm always a little nervous too because it's like an 8-mile bridge. I think it's 8 miles that goes from this one island to the next island, and you cross from bridge from bridge from bridge, to island to island to island, and so you have this one section that's 8 miles over the ocean. And you look and you see the water's beautiful because you can see 60, 80 feet down and it's clear. You can see down to the bottom. And in some parts it's dark and some parts it's light and it looks like puzzle pieces. And it's great to watch and see. But the whole time going over the bridge, I'm praying, God, get me to the other end of the bridge because I'm scared of sharks. And if this bridge goes down, I don't want to. And so there's a sense of insecurity there, but it's calling on God to help me to not be nervous about crossing that bridge. And that's something we need to consider in our walk with Jesus, because if we get to a place where our lives are stagnant and stuck in one place spiritually, then either we've missed the call of God to move forward or we refuse the call of God to move forward. Because God will always move us forward in growth. We should always see ourselves progressing and growing in him. And the bridges are in all sorts of forms, all for all different types of purposes. To our perspectives, it could be a perspective, it could be attitudes, it could be ministry challenges, it could be relationships, it could be all sorts of things that require us to take that step of faith that we're not so secure on. And yet we need to rely on the hands of God to hold us up, because that really reflects our faith in God. But bridges take us where we are to where we want to go. Isn't that right? I was on that bridge in Key West, and I wanted to get to the other island before the bridge collapsed. Right? And even going back, I'm like, okay, here we go. It's that long bridge again. And I had the same sense, but I trusted God. So a bridge goes both ways. And it can take us back to where we were. That's not what we want as believers in Christ. We do not want to regress in our walk. We do, and how can we do that? Well, one, we can fall out of fellowship with God. You know, one, we can, God doesn't become our passion anymore. We're not focused on him anymore. Church doesn't become a place where we and seek to encounter those moments with God and fellowship and God working through each other. It becomes a routine and a religious act and not an act of expectation and anticipation for what God wants to say to us. And so we can revert back into areas that God does not want us to be. But we can put up safeguards that will keep us from reverting back and always allow us to continue to move forward. So long as we're alive, God can use us, whether we think so or not. And because it's the power of God, our inabilities is nothing for God's ability. Right? Amen? Our inability is nothing for God's ability. We can't say to God, I can't do this, and because God's going to say, yeah, you can through me. This is the bridge. I can't cross that bridge. Yes, you can. Trust me. Rely on him. God will do what he wants to do in our lives, but he's also given us free will to follow him as well. Our lives contain spiritual bridges disguised in physical decisions. Let me read that again. Our lives contain spiritual bridges disguised in physical decisions. Let me put it another way. God calls us to do something that's spiritual, right? God calls us to action, which is physical. When we hear God call us to do something and we act upon it, it's evident by our activity. It's evident by how we respond to God. So when the Spirit of God moves our heart to do something, and we hear, we acknowledge, we know, and then we act upon it and do what God says, that's the spiritual being revealed in the physical, even though people may not realize what we're going through inside. You ever been there? Where you know there's something God's dealing with in our heart that requires faith for us to get through. No one else necessarily knows about that, but you're doing in your heart what you know God wants you to do to enable you to cross that bridge to a more secure, successful, victorious landing, if you will, the other end of the bridge. Sometimes we come to a spiritual waterway or a canyon and we don't know how to cross it. You ever been there? God's called you to do something. God's saying, look, I want you to work in this relationship. God's saying, these are the circumstances you're facing. But the circumstances are so vast that they are overwhelming and almost bringing a sense of confusion to us. God's not an author of confusion. God will clearly illustrate, clearly direct, clearly take us, even if it's inch by inch or step by step, in the direction he wants us to go if we rely on him. That's the key. Walking with Jesus is not always skating along with him. Walking with Jesus can be very difficult sometimes. Walking with Jesus can be very methodical, very intentional. And to classify ourselves as believing Christians who believe in Christ as being Christ's followers is not always a reality. We are Christ's followers if we follow Christ, not just because we know him. And we need to remember that, because it's easy for us to put ourselves into that category, because we want to be considered and we want to think of ourselves as being a Christ follower because I believe in him. No, it's beyond that. It's following him from bridge to bridge to bridge to bridge of maturity and growth in Jesus Christ. We need to pray and ask God for help and guidance. Then he can help us across that bridge. People face horrendous circumstances, but it's a bridge and it's a challenge, but God is right there with you as a believer in Christ. And as we rely on him and trust on him, he'll help us to get through it. He'll either help us through it to victory this side of heaven or help us through it in victory in heaven, right? We can't lose when we walk with God. We can't lose when we walk with God, but that doesn't mean we can't have difficulty when we do. Does that make sense? It's a challenge, and it's a warfare. The enemy doesn't want us to. God says, I'm your grace, your strength, your power to carry you across the bridge of challenge or whatever it is that I place in front of you. But if you acknowledge the bridge by hearing what God is saying, what he wants you to do to cross that bridge and rely on him to do it, we will see him accomplish his work more and more progressively and progressively in our lives. When we look at a waterway, we might look at the fact that it's scary or fast or dangerous. When I crossed the ocean, that part of the ocean in the Florida Keys, it wasn't tempestuous. It was very calm and peaceful and relaxing looking that day. But at the same time, I knew, again, there were sharks in there, and I did not want to be in there. I had images of the bridge breaking up and my car crashing down in the ocean, and I'm miles from any type of land to swim to. See, my mind, your minds do that, don't they? They complicate the matter. When in essence, God is saying, the bridge isn't broken, nothing's happening, you're right here with me, and guess what? You're still moving over it. So we have to take a step back and say, stop thinking about all the ifs and just do and be aware of what's happening now and be faithful to God. We hesitate. Sometimes God brings us to a bridge that we don't want to cross. Because we're afraid that it won't hold us up. In other words, we might see a bridge that's too challenging for us, and the first thing we might say is, well, I might fail in that pursuit of what you have. I might fail in rebuilding a relationship, or I might fail in serving in that capacity, or I might fail in restoring my marriage. Or the important thing is that we do what God wants us to do, then our heart and our conscience is clear before God. We can't make, in relationships, we can't make relationships work on the other end. But it's our responsibility to do our part to do what God wants us to do. We can't necessarily make our marriage work, but God expects us to do everything he leads us to make it work. But it's a partnership as a married couple, right? So there has to be a compliance there. Again, restating, we have to be willing to just do what God tells us to do. That's the part where we realize God's carrying us. We don't know what the outcome is. We see all the convoluted situation in front of us, and yet God says, I want you to work with me through this, so walk with me, let me carry you. And as we do, we start seeing behind us that we've come a long way, and God is accomplishing what he wants to accomplish in our lives. So we fear that it won't hold us up. We fear leaving behind, and that's important. Leaving behind the things that, again, that we're comfortable with or that we're familiar with. That's often the case. I'm very comfortable in this situation, but you've called me up here to preach, or you've called me to serve in a capacity, or you've called me to do something that's out of what I feel that I'm confidently capable of doing. And God's saying, yep, and that's exactly where I want you. I want you where you're not confident in what you're doing, but you're confident in me to do it through you. That's faith. And that faith is part of that which is necessary for us to cross the bridge that carries us to the next place of spiritual growth that God wants us to experience with him. We really need to cross the bridge that God has provided in answer to our prayers. It's easy for us to say, God, I want to live for you. It's easy to say, God, I want to be the man or the woman or the person that you want me to be. It's easy to make the declaration and not embrace that which that is necessary to accomplish that goal. Right? It's easy to say, I want to be this, but I'm not willing to take the course. Just give it to me. Just change me instantaneously. It sure be a whole lot easier. You can do anything. Right? God says, no, the only way you're going to really change is by going through the process. And the process is not always easy for us to do. I want to look at a spiritual bridge in the life of Elisha. Not Elijah, but Elisha, which is Elijah's successor. In 1 Kings 19, 19 through 21, it says, so he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. Man, he must have been a strong man. 12 oxen that he was controlling while he was plowing. Wow. Okay. Okay. Plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, please let me kiss my father and my mother, then I will follow you. And he said to him, go back again, for what have I done to you? We're going to talk about that in a moment. So Elijah turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. We have two choices. We can go back to take care of things so we can move forward, or we can go back to stay where we were so we won't go forward. So we have to make a choice. To take care of things so we can go forward, or to go back so we won't go forward. And that's a decision. And Elisha made the decision that he was going to go back to take care of some things so he can move forward. Elisha was grappling with leaving behind his father and mother. It's difficult. God will call us to do things that are really difficult for us to embrace. When I was out here, first 2 years I was in California after moving from Florida, my mom and I, every time we talked on the phone, she said, when are you coming back? Or, I love you and I miss you. When are you coming back? And I really struggled with that. And I wrestled with that. And I said, and my checkpoint was, am I in your will, Father? And if I'm in your will, And I would ask him, I would know, and yeah, he would confirm, you're exactly where I want you to be, doing what I want you to do. That was my strength, my encouragement, my security, but it did not remove the pain of the sacrifice. That's what was hard. And I continued to struggle with that sacrifice in my life. Elisha had a decision to make to cross the bridge into his new and better future with God. Here's a question for you. Do we want a new and better relationship with God? Do we want a new and better purpose in God? Do we want to embrace the better future God has for each one of us to live in Him? That's progressive. I don't technically like that term in our culture today because it's anti-God often. Okay? But spiritually, progression is that of being willing to follow at the cost of what we have to leave behind. It can involve leaving relationships. It can involve leaving familiar territory. When I drove out from Florida to California, I'd never driven more than 300 miles by myself, and I drove across country, and I was putting my feet in an area that I had a total new environment, total new social environment. Everything was new and foreign to me, if you will. But God said on the way out, he said, I'm testing you to see if you want to follow me or not, if you love me more than your family. And I said, I love you more, as I cried the rest of the way for some time before the Lord. And so some of us struggle with what God calls us to do, and for others it's easy. I'm on it. No problem, right? But let me assure you that the first spiritual bridge to eternal life and the best decision anyone can make is what? Receiving Christ. We can't be on that spiritual journey and that spiritual growth unless we ask Jesus in our heart. I know everybody in this room is a believer in Jesus, okay? But I don't know those that are hearing this message are. So we need to remind them that Jesus is God's Son, that he died on the cross for our sin, that he was buried on the buried, and on the third day he rose from the dead, and that he's alive today in heaven. But being that that's a reality, a fact, a truth, and he's in heaven today doesn't mean that he's in our heart. We have to acknowledge what Jesus did for us, ask him to forgive us, repent or turn away from our sin and sinful lifestyle or nature, make that commitment to do so, and ask Christ to come live in our heart. If we do that, then Christ comes in our heart and he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And as I said in the beginning of this message, we are the children of God by that standard, spiritually made alive, no longer spiritually dead. Now Elijah gave Elisha advice in verse 20. He said, go back again, for what have I done to you? Kind of a strange thing, but he's really asking, you can go back to your parents, but here's the question, remember, or what have I done for you? What was it that he did for him? We have to go back to verse 19. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. There's a point in this passage of scripture that's important for us to remember. Who did Elijah represent? God. He wasn't God, but he was a representative of God in this historical event. Who was Elisha? He was the successor of him, right? What was the mantle? The power of God. It resembled the power of God. So Elijah is saying to Elisha, his successor, remember what I did to you? I threw my mantle on your shoulder. When you were with those 12 oxen, I walked by you, put my mantle on you. And that was a symbol of God saying, I have not only called you, but I've empowered you to do what I have for you in the future, which requires taking you from this place to that place, or crossing over a spiritual bridge in your life that will require a commitment, a decision, a sacrifice, yet a yearning for Jesus, for God, and his will in your life. And so I want to restate that another way. When I've thought about this passage of scripture, maybe you've thought of it as well, wouldn't that be cool if we were in Elisha's day and Elijah came by and dropped his mantle on us? Question one, do you want God's power placed on you? Because God doesn't empower us unless he has something for us to what? Do. But let me remind you that in Acts 1:8, we have been empowered by God, paraphrasing, to do the very work God has called us to do. So in essence, New Testament-wise, all of us have already been given the mantle of God on our shoulders. All of us have been called by God to be his witness, to be his children, to be active in doing and serving and being the people that God has called us to be. The question is, are we willing to make the sacrifices necessary, the commitment that's necessary, and do we have the heart and desire to have a growing relationship with God or not? If we do, we're across the bridges of spiritual growth. If we don't, the bridges will just be obscure. And we will stay stagnant where we are. Elijah had a powerful life with God. He wore the mantle under God's leadership. He passed that mantle or that power or that authority over to Elijah. And Elijah needed to make the decision to cross that spiritual bridge. So what is that? In 1 Kings 19:21, it says, so Elijah turned back from him. Okay. Elisha turned back from Elijah and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh, using the oxen's equipment, and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. Now, I explained to you there's two things that you can do when you turn back. You can turn back and make things right so that you can let go and go forward, or you can turn back and hold on and not go forward. We can either make things right and then move forward, or we can go back and stay put and not move forward. What did Elisha do here? He not only went back, but he made things right by saying goodbye to his parents and friends, which was the grace of God through Elijah to tell him to go ahead and do that. But he made a commitment, a decision that would ensure that he would not come back and do the same thing. What was it? He took the very vessels of what was used to plow the field with those 12 oxen and burned, you know, used it as wood to boil a pot of water. He can boil the flesh of the oxen. He slaughtered the 12 oxen and took the gear that he used for and burned it and used it for fire to cook the oxen. Then he threw the biggest party he ever had with family and friends, gave out food, let's eat, now goodbye. There's a picture here for us that there are things in our life that we have to be willing when God directs us to burn up those things in the past so that we don't go back to those things. That's commitment. That's sacrifice. That's not easy sometimes. For some people it may be. Others it may not. It may be a real struggle. So Elisha slaughtered the oxen, burned up the equipment, threw that big party and said goodbye. He burned the bridge, the oxen, the equipment that would allow him to return to his past. Did you get that? He burned the bridge that would allow him to go back to the past. One of the things that I remember leaving besides my mom, and because she and I lived by ourselves, my brother was a military, parents were divorced, but also my very best friend. And that was very hard for me, very, very hard for me to say goodbye. And yet God said, are you going to put me first? That's what I need to know. Of course, God knew. I needed to know that I would be that committed to God. And God blessed that. A bridge goes both ways. Sometimes we have to leave behind permanently what God is calling us to leave behind. Do you know how many times I went back to Florida wondering if it was the place I should be? I think it was 4. And, you know, God must have just been shaking his head, said, you are a stubborn boy. But I was really uncertain. I wrestled in my emotion. I wanted to be there. I wanted to be here, but I wasn't sure. So I had the freedom to make the decision because I was on my own, so to speak. But I remember specifically driving through Needles and my car breaking down at least 6 times. In between each time it broke down, I went to this dealership in Needles, which I will never stop at again. And they would quote unquote fix my car, and I would drive 45 minutes down the road for them to come pick up with the tow truck. And I'm not kidding, 6 times. What did I do? I sold the car. I put all my stuff that I wanted on UPS, and I took Greyhound back to Florida. Stubborn child, stubborn child, stubborn child. I was there for 9 months, and I knew God had said all the whole time, even before I got there, this is not where I want you. But he let me go through that to finalize it for me. Did I get through to you, Terry? Yeah. I had a willing heart, but it was a struggle. Sometimes in the struggle of crossing the bridge that God wants us to, we can fall behind and go back. But we have to be willing to listen to God and say, God, I'm willing to yield to you. You do with me what you got to do to get me on the path that you want me to be on, because the path that you have for me really in reality is the path that I want, because it reflects the relationship that I have with you and the purpose you've created me for. And so the decision was made and it was done. We can't go back to where we are comfortable or to those things that we are holding back. We can fear crossing the bridge to a new relationship, a new job, a new town, a new ministry. The things that we have to go through, yes, they are scary. It's like crossing a canyon. You ever cross a canyon on like a train going across a train track? You ever see those bridges that are just, you look, it's like, no, I don't think so, you know? But you have to be willing to cross over even when it is scary. We may have people in our life that are holding us back, that keep us from being committed to God, to carry out his will, walking in his ways. My mother wasn't a Christian at the time. She didn't understand what I was doing or why. And so as a naturally, my mother would say, I want you back. Right? And in a sense, without her knowing, it was a draw back. I wanted to go back. My best friend kept saying, hey, when are you coming home, Terry? A month after I came out, I said, hey, can you come back and can you co-do the wedding ceremony that I'm getting married? Can you do that? Well, I didn't have a dime with me. I couldn't get back there. But it was almost, you could see the Satan working inadvertently in my mind on different tactics to pull me back, to get me out of the place and the will that God had for my life. We love people so much, we don't want to hurt their feelings, and we don't want to leave them behind. But as believers, we would rather that that we as people will put God first above all others and be willing to go as God would have us to go. In the past, in the background, we might have ungodly influences over us. We may be caught up in things that aren't right. We might be caught up in lifestyles that aren't right. But those are the things that hold us back from crossing the bridge of faith to the future that God intends for us. We have to be willing to let those things go. If we become followers of Christ, the only real decision we have to make is to follow him over the bridge into our future with him. Our friends, our family, whether good or bad influences, are not more important to us than God, right? We want to say right. When we're put to the test and held over the flames, we find out if we really do or not. And that's what's important. We need to be willing and make the commitment to walk with God and to do his will. We have to make a choice like Elijah when God calls us to pick up the mantle, the power of God, to burn the bridge, to let go of the past so we can move forward with God. Too many times we fear man or circumstances and stop in our tracks. We don't witness, we don't take change, we don't make changes, we don't move forward with God, and our life becomes stagnant and ineffective. A serious question to ask. Evaluate your life. Look at it right now in your own spirit. Have you grown more than you have than last year? So, well, that's kind of hard for me to. Well, let's see. Is your heart relationship with Jesus as deeper than it ever has been? Do you remember a time when your heart was more in love with Jesus in the past than where it is now? Then you've gone back to the past by not loving him more now. You follow what I'm saying? And so we need to be willing to put our feet to the fire, be willing to do what God would have us to do, or else we become stagnant in our faith and ineffective as his servants, as his children, as he intends for us. Jesus gives us some important insight when it comes to fearing man. In Matthew 10:28, it says, and do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. What's the most important thing to remember here? But rather fear him. Fear God your Father. Not out of a paralyzed fear, not out of a traumatized fear, but out of two things. One, yes, to respect God, but let's not water down what that word fear means. To realize that if we're out of his will, that we're going to take the consequence of being disciplined by him. We have to be willing to yield to God than rather saying, okay, I'll take the licking anyways. Right? Have you heard our kids say that before? I'm going to do it anyways. I know I'm going to get whooped for it. And that's where we are spiritually. We should not have that type of thinking at all. We should be far more concerned with God and what he thinks about us than what others think about us. And our first concern should always be with pleasing God first, doing as he asks us, and not about our relationships with others. Elijah made the right spiritual decision. He began crossing the bridge to his future. He burnt the bridge behind him. He let go of the past, right? So he made that important decision to enable him to cross over that bridge of the future. And he learned from and followed Elijah all the way across that bridge. We're going to take a quick peek at Elijah's future in 2 Kings 2:9 through 14. And so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you?" Wouldn't that be cool? Hey, Barbara, this is God talking to you. Ask me for whatever you want. You know, just the opportunity was there. Elijah was under God's leadership, was telling Elisha, "Ask me whatever you want. Ask, what may I do for you before I'm taken away from you?" Elijah said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." Whew! Is that simply saying I want a double portion of blessings in my life that will overflow? No, he said, "I want a double portion of your power that I can be used by you in greater ways than you." Not out of pride, but to the glory of God. But the only way we can be used for God effectively is by sacrifice and commitment and a love for him beyond all others. In verse 10, it says, "So he said, 'You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you, but if not, it shall not be so.' Then it happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven." Question, how would that affect your spiritual faith? Yeah, God, you're real. Yeah, God, I saw it with my own eyes. Yeah, I saw Elijah go up. I saw this miracle. I saw a fiery chariot. I saw horses of fire come from heaven in a whirlwind, pick up Elijah, and went right back up to heaven. I saw it. And in the process, as Elijah was being taken up in the chariot of God, his mantle fell down and landed on me. Or came to me. The very thing that was going up with God came down and landed on me. We believe by faith that Jesus rose from the dead and ascended to the Father, yet he lives in our heart and has empowered us to be his people. And Elijah saw it, and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen." He saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces, humbled before God. He also took up the mantle, that power of God, that mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah and that had fallen from him. So he saw it fall from Elijah. He got it, whether it landed on him or landed by him, but he saw it fall, and struck the water and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elijah crossed over. Okay, you've given me the power and a double portion. I've seen him go, so I'm going to test it. Struck the water with the mantle, and says, "Where's your power?" And as he's saying, "Where's the power?" the water separated, and he crossed over. We might do that. "You've empowered me to do your work, Lord. If we really want it, we're going to put it to the test, and we're going to see God do his work through us." But it takes a commitment, a determination to do that. Elijah experienced enough things with Elijah to know that he wanted a deeper relationship with God. He crossed the bridge together with Elijah into the future. We're to cross the bridge of commitment and of the bridge of challenge, the bridge of courage, and they cross that same bridge with God. Elijah knew that God was with him and empowered him. We should know that God is with us and has empowered us to cross the bridges and the challenges he puts in front of us, no matter how difficult it is to cross them, whether a swinging bridge with broken wooden boards or a solid bridge that goes over the spread of water between islands, whatever it might be, God is there with us. He was encouraged enough to ask a double portion of God's Spirit to be in his life. Not encouraged, he was courageous enough to ask for that. Courageous enough equals a stronger commitment and a surrender to God. Elijah was given a command by Elijah to continue to keep his eyes on him. and his request would be granted. Keep our eyes on God, and God will grant us the privilege of experiencing him and his power and the future purposes he has for us as we cross each bridge of faith he calls us to cross. What a blessing and what a price Elisha gave. He gave up his past and chose to follow God in his ways. Elisha now is going to begin a powerful life with God. Is that an exciting proposal for you? To live an exciting life with God? Living an exciting life with God is not romanticizing the power of God. Is experiencing the power of God through thick and thin, no matter what. What is there anything more in life that we could want than to live a powerful life with God? That's a decision that you would have to make. In verse 14, we see this, that first miracle, the separating of the water that Elisha's when he slapped that mantle on the water. It was evidence of God's power being done by Elisha with the very mantle that belonged to Elijah. So we need to evaluate our own lives. Has God called us to cross a bridge? Are you at a point right now? Has God already put a bridge in front of you and you know it's there, but you're contemplating whether you want to cross it? Has God called us to cross a bridge or to burn some things in our lives that are in the past that he doesn't want in our lives so we can move into the future with him? Has God called us to cross a bridge, burn some things in our lives that he doesn't want in them so we can move into the future with him? That's a serious question. But if we can proclaim that we are followers of Christ, let us proclaim it not because we've received him, but because we are following him. And because we are willing to cross the bridge to the future, we are willing to grow, we are willing to embrace what he has set before us in him. So is there a mantle we need to pick up and let God use in our lives? Put it another way. So have you come to a place in your life where you're willing to pick up the very power that God has given you to follow him wherever he leads you? To be whatever he's called you to be, to grow to any extent and to every extent that God intends for us to grow. That's the challenge that's set before us. May we live for the Lord in all genuineness of heart. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the witness of this history of Elijah and Elisha, the application to our own lives, the simple realization that we have already had a mantle of your power placed upon us. For you have equipped us to do every good work. You have empowered us to do what you've called us to do. We know that in Acts 1:8. And so, Father, I pray that instead of, and I don't want to be insulting, that's not my intent. I want my wording to be correct. Let us be careful that we're not just satisfied with knowing that we have the power of God that lives within us. Its name is Jesus. Let's not be simply content with that. But let us have a desire to live out the purposes of that power which you have given each one of us as we are following you with a heart that's committed and surrendered to you, with a heart that loves you first above all things. I just pray your honor this. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.